Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. You know, summer is coming, the sun is shining, shirts are off, and your balls are smooth. You heard me right. Your friends at Manscaped, they're here to make sure that your beach balls are as smooth as the Floridian sand, my friends. In the summertime, you know, you want to kill some cold beers and some barbecues, not kill the vibe with your pubes peeking out of your swim trunks. That's why Manscaped has their Performance Package 4.0. That's to keep the party in your pants, my friend, looking crisp and refreshing all summer long. 4 million men have trusted Manscaped. Why shouldn't you? It all starts and stops by going to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping if you use my promo code Bubba. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 has everything that you need to prepare for that summer bod. Inside this package, you're going to find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold it all, my friends. You want to take your grooming game even further? Take a look at the Manscaped Shears 2.0. In that package, it has everything that you need to look pristine. Nail cutters, tweezers, grooming scissors. Go to manscaped.com and go crazy. They got everything you potentially possibly could need. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. This is the summer to turn your package into the full package, my friend, and it all starts and stops at Manscaped. Listen, I have had my Manscaped stuff now for about a year. I don't know what I would do without it. As a matter of fact, I've now got all my co-hosts on the Manscaped deal. All the male co-hosts on my show have almost everything Manscaped offers. Why wouldn't you? Reduce the risk of ingrown hairs. You reduce the risk of grooming accidents. Again, all of this craziness starts and stops at manscaped.com. Use promo code Bubba for 20% off.
I wish I got that on. Hello?
You gotta plug yourself
there
in.
There we go. Wasn't plugged in all the way. Wish I captured your sneeze. Welcome to Blummel Off the Rails. Anna and Blitz here. Still trying to get situated. Stand by. Is fantastic. Happy Friday to the people.
It's hot here too.
It was is it? Yeah, you want me? I'll turn it down to 75. There you go. I'm freezing, you're boiling. We'll compromise because that's what relationships are all about, is compromising over the thermostat. So there sure. We go. Again, happy Friday. It's been a 3-day week and I am exhausted. I don't know how I do 5 days every week. It's crazy.
I was telling her earlier, I'm like, for such a short week, man, it just like feels like it dragged on, like today, like especially today. And like the show was funny, it was great. Like the show moved on, just the day didn't.
Yeah. I noticed that, although, and here's the thing, like I don't want this to deter Bubba from giving us vacations because they're fantastic. But given any significant amount of time off, I feel like there's a direct correlation between how much time you have off and how much harder it is to then get back into the regular routine of things.
Right. That's why we need to take weeks at a time off.
Yes. Because, no. That's how it's weird because, like, I obviously love having the time off, but then when you're off for so long, you almost get into a routine of doing things, mm-hmm. you know, at your leisure and just sleeping in or being a bum and not going to jujitsu and eating cake instead, which is what I did and felt kind of guilty for it. It's weird. I realize that I'm, and I don't know if anybody else is like this. I'm sure there are, but I didn't want to go to jujitsu on Tuesday because I wanted to eat cake. But then I just ended up feeling guilty about not going and eating cake, that it probably would have just been easier on my mentals if I had just gone in the first place. But it is what it is. I decided to go yesterday because I didn't go on Tuesday. So I did bake the cake quite quickly. And I had a piece of it during the break, and I have to say, I fucking nailed it.
Yeah, you did. It was really good.
It was really fucking good. It's been a fun new hobby that I've never had. I've never stuck with anything that is domestic or domesticated this long. But I'm happy that everybody around me gets to reap the benefits, including you.
Yeah.
And I really have you to thank for, because I have you to thank for everything in my life. So why not take credit for this one,
happened.
Too?
Everything good that's happened.
Pretty much. There were a few things I wanted to discuss. Some, you know, more personal stuff that people can relate to, and other things
like
more
that.
Political. What? Like cake? Like shit? Oh, like Lizzo. Hell yes. Is this the big girls, battle of the big girls sort of thing? God bless Lizzo. She's great. She's fantastic. She really, you know, she broke out of the mold of being...
Well, the mold was undersized.
Yes, the mold was undersized. And here's the thing about fat people in Hollywood is that a lot of them aren't ugly. You know, it's like they're like, oh, we're, you know, advocating for everybody. It's like, no, you still got like a nice face, nice skin. Like, where's the girl that's balding with acne? Like, where is she? Like, where's the girl?
It's alopecia.
No, not bald, balding. Like, someone who has like shitty hair, someone who has bad teeth, bad skin. It's like, even these women who are large, they are still, you know, have a lot of the qualities that are very much conventional beauty standards.
Yeah.
In terms of how they wear their makeup, that the skin, the big eyes, the luscious hair, even though it's fake, it doesn't matter. Nothing's real anymore. Does it even matter anymore? No, it doesn't. So there are some things politically I want to get into, because there's a lot of things going on. I think I'm bewildered by the fact that people are still bewildered by the fact that I am anti-capital punishment. I feel like that comes up somewhat frequently, and people seem to think that I have some sort of sympathy for the perpetrators or the murderers.
So what you're saying is they didn't kill anybody?
So you're saying they should, that you don't, that you think that they're great and they didn't kill anybody? Yeah. That you think that they could be rehabilitated? Literally, I'm just like, no, I don't think they should be murdered. Oh, so you want to fuck them? Yes,
yeah.
I want to fuck them. So
and
you
bake
love
them?
Them?
A cake?
You want to bake them a cake? You think they deserve a second chance? No, never said that. Mm-mm. People don't understand that, you know, and I'll repeat it again for the people in the back, that it has nothing to do with the fact that I think that they should be given clemency or forgiveness or any of that other fucking bullshit. I want them out of society just as much as everybody else. I just don't like giving the state power to take lives.
And I completely understand that.
You understand that? Because yep. Then you start, it becomes what, unfortunately, I have to say this again, but it becomes what we call a slippery slope. Okay. You start taking a life here because you say, well, we take lives for murders. Okay. But then we take lives where we think that somebody murdered someone. So, and then, you know what? We're going to take a life because they're, you know, they're threatening the government and they're being problematic. And it's the same thing with, like, torture. You start opening the torture door. Now you're torturing people that are, you know, maybe not in line with how you want them to think. It's just not good. So how do you get around that? You don't call it torture, because that's against the Eighth Amendment. You call it enhanced interrogation, and you send them to Gitmo. So you're not doing it on American soil.
Right.
So they have no constitutional rights.
That's Cuba.
They're terrorists.
They're doing it in Cuba.
It's insane. So I just don't like giving the state that much power.
And I get it.
Yeah, and people, it's funny because a lot of the people that are very much against, like, oh, I don't want the government involved in my lives, but they could take a life if they want to. I'm like, what? Why would you want that?
And here's my thing. It's funny because, like, I agree with you. I'm also in the camp of, like, hey, kill them. I just, it probably shouldn't be the government.
Yes. And I completely understand what you mean, because I have what I call personal opinion and then a political opinion.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is, yeah, that motherfucker deserves to die.
Yep.
That's my personal opinion. They deserve to die. But my political opinion is, I don't feel comfortable with giving the state or the country or the government, any government,
right,
the right to take a life. That, it makes me uncomfortable because I don't think the state should have power to take away someone's life.
And you know, unless they're like 12 when they committed the crime, generally it's cheaper to keep them in for life.
Which is bizarre, but it really is true. And a lot of people don't know that. They're just like, well, I don't want to pay for them. I mean, that's just any person I'm impersonating.
And I get that as well, because you know, you wouldn't think that it would cost less to keep them alive for 20 years.
Right. But again, usually it's not like they're murdered the next week. It's
sure.
20, 25 yeah, years.
Exactly.
You know, and
so
then
you're saying we need to speed the process up. You know what? I agree.
No, I'm not saying, I just don't, I feel very, very uncomfortable. And then usually when I kind of voice it that way, then I get people a little bit more, at least understanding to what I'm trying to say, versus the fact that they think I have some sort of sympathy for the person who has committed heinous crimes. Absolutely has nothing to do with the person and everything to do with trying my best, or what I think is the best way to run a civil society. We don't torture people. We don't do public executions. There's just certain things. And then people always use this argument, which isn't an argument. They go, what if it was your sister? What if it was your husband that was murdered? It's like, that's not an argument. You're just trying to say, like, you're trying to build up some sort of emotion in me where I would want them to die more, which that's why we have trials. And it's not, you know, hey, let's take this person who raped this girl and put him in a room with her family members and close the door for 5 minutes. That's not how we handle business, at least openly. You know, that's why we have fair trials and we have to do things, you know, procedurally, so that we can live in what at least appears to be the image of a civil society. We all know that that's not the case. And that's why everyone hated Trump, because he called it out for what it was. And that's kind of what a lot of people liked about him.
Absolutely.
Is that he called out the establishment. He said things that presidents aren't supposed to say. Like, hey, the deep state is fucking trying to fuck everybody over. They just want your money. What did he say on Bill O'Reilly that time? They were asking him questions about Putin. And this was like 2017 or something about Putin, and like, you know, why would you want to do business? Like, because they were saying that he was currying favor with Putin, Trump was. And he's like, well, why are you currying favor with a murderous dictator? And he's like, you think America does shit like this? wink, wink.
Of course they do, yeah.
Maybe just not out in the open. It's not as brazen, but America still does some shady shit. You have to understand that, like, everything is nuanced, obviously, and that the industry and the business of becoming a country, you have to do shady shit.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. It's run by people, and people are greedy. People are dirty. Mm-hmm. You think about even like office politics and like nepotism within the company that you work for, the little either mom and pop, or maybe it's a bigger company. I don't know, Netflix, Bank of America, whatever. You know, there's a lot of nepotism that goes on. People you know, people that get promoted because they're someone's nephew or, you know, legacy or whatever the case may be. And people are like, oh, that's not fair. It's like, of course that happens. It actually makes me feel more comfortable when that happens, because then I'm like, okay, things are working exactly as I expect them to.
Yeah. So Aunt Betty called in a favor because her son needs a job.
Right.
And, you know, and you can make an opening.
Right. And people are only angry when it doesn't benefit them. Yeah, like, if you know somebody, you're like, I know somebody, we can get VIP fucking bottle service.
Exactly.
Then you're more than happy to acquire the benefits. Which it just makes me feel more comfortable because I'm so glad that we don't live in a meritocracy and that you have the option to pull a Kamala Harris and fuck your way to the top. That sure. makes me feel comfortable because that's what I expect to happen. So when I see Hunter Biden naked, like shaking his dick and balls, smoking crack and drinking a White Claw, it makes me feel comfortable because that's exactly what I think is going on behind the scenes. And guess what? I'm fucking right.
Yeah, because it is.
I know. And like I said before, I like the fact that rich, wealthy people, like they enjoy pretending to be common folk, pretending to be poor. Mm-hmm. I worked with a guy, I'll just say his name, doesn't matter, Swig, Ben Swig.
Okay.
He was married to a DiBartolo. Great guy, nice guy, Jewish guy, very liberal guy, very wealthy guy. But he has a lot of money. He was married to a DiBartolo, and he had a child, a firstborn son, that was a DiBartolo, and that was definitely the move because he's in that kid's life forever, obviously, and yeah. he's attached to the DiBartolo clan. If you don't know who the DiBartolo clan is, they're pretty powerful family in everywhere, but in Tampa especially.
Yeah.
I believe Eddie DiBartolo got the pardon
from Trump.
Yes. So yeah. Do you understand? We're dealing with some high level shit, some billionaires, people with 9 zeros in the bank account. You know, not a millionaire. We're talking a billionaire.
I got 9 zeros in mine.
Right. Point zero.
It's not followed or succeeded by anything. It's just 9 zeros.
Yes. So Ben Swig, I remember, you know, he would dine at the fanciest places and he lived in a beautiful home that I saw. He had a, you know, some people have a guest bedroom or, you know, extra bedroom for, you know, an office, but he had an extra bedroom for his jersey collection. They had their own room. So that was nice. I'm like, is this your office? He's like, no. I'm like, well, is this your kid's room? No, this is my jersey room.
Babyface has one of those, too.
He does?
Yeah, he's a big jersey guy.
Nice. He's kicked one of his in-laws into the garage and used that room. Now it's the
jerseys, sports jerseys.
Right, that he cleaned up his, what was it, kid's shit or poop or
was,
throw up?
Vomit, I believe.
And then threw it out the window.
The Bubba Army jersey.
Yeah. Thanks, Babyface. Go fuck yourself. So Ben Swig would occasionally come into the station when I worked at the Bone. He would do, you know, he was a big fill-in guy. He liked doing this as a hobby, but he also had a show every Saturday called Migs and Swig. And sometimes he would come in and I would kind of like, I'd be in the kitchenette area, the little dining area, and he would just
love- You were stealing K-cups?
No, he wasn't stealing anything.
No, you.
Yes, I was stealing K-cups, of course. Yeah. And then I'd be like, oh, who's here? Oh God, I better stop, put a few back. But he would come in.
You grab two more and then run.
Exactly. And then I would run to the same room so he would see me again.
Oh.
So that didn't work.
Oops.
But he would just eat a lot of the top ramen and candy bars and like all this like poor food, like as meals though. It wasn't even just like a snack. Like he would buy, you know, he was constantly eating top ramen. He just kept buying it and buying
it. Why?
I asked him, I'm like, Ben, why do you do, you have the option to buy, you know, the bougie shit, the better tasting stuff, better for you stuff. And he's just like, I just like it. It's fun for me. And then what I realized, what he was trying to tell me is that it's fun to pretend to be poor, to pretend like you're common folk, but then you can go home and you can have a 5-star meal for dinner.
I see what you mean, but like every now and then. Top ramen is good.
Right, but like, he was eating it like every day. And he would eat like those, you know, we would have some of those like pre-wrapped hoagies and shit, like Lunchables, like really trash food.
Okay.
But it just seemed like he enjoyed pretending to be poor. That's what camping is. Camping all the time is being homeless. Camping for a weekend is fun. You're adventurous. You're out in nature. But you just do it for a little bit. Right? That's what camping is you're pretending to be homeless for a day or two, and it's kind of fun, but you know you always have your nice, warm home to return to. That's why camping is fun. If camping is not optional, then camping is no fun.
Right.
You know? So, like, when you go from camping, you know, going to whatever, you know, where I grew up, say, Joshua Tree or something for a weekend would be fun. But then when you've moved to Huntington Beach because you can't afford your home anymore and you live in a tent city, in LA, now it's not fun anymore because it's not an option. So that's the difference there. When it's an option, it's fun. You're adventurous. When it's not an option, you go kill yourself. You're homeless and your life is over.
Many things are like that, though.
Right, right. God, what do I want to get into next? Second Amendment stuff is what I want to get into next. Guns, Blitz. Do you know anything about fucking guns?
Not really.
Oh, I'll get that later. I am trying to learn more about guns because it does interest me much more than, say, like racing and cars and sports. Is just, it's never going to happen for me. But guns, like, you know quite a bit about guns, obviously. Dan knows quite a bit. Bubba knows, it seems like, a bit. Everybody knows more than me, of course. Everybody knows more than me. And it's not even so much that I'm concerned with gun laws, which obviously I should be, but just in terms of, like, how guns operate, what kind of guns are for what is the definition of a semi-automatic, where all those sorts of things have kind of been passed over. Like, I don't really know the ins and the outs. So yesterday, I know this is going to shock you, but I was watching Joe Rogan.
Oh, imagine that.
And are you familiar with a man named, it's not his real name, but his alias is Colin Noir?
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
The black guy.
Yeah. Is that, am I saying his name right?
Colin.
It's like, but it's not spelled Colin.
I know, but he pronounces it Colin Noir.
Okay. Yeah. So he was on there and he was kind of breaking down the statistics and this and that. Let me ask you a question
He's a big, like, pro-gun guy.
Yes. He's like NRA, Go Brandon,
absolutely,
black guy. Yep. So it's just not what you would expect. He's a lawyer too. And then obviously I started watching him on Rogan, so I started watching him on Bill Maher.
Okay.
And it's really funny to see this, like, black Republican guy and then, like, this white liberal guy who is accusing Republicans and people in the NRA of, like, being racist while talking to a black guy who is in the NRA. It's just, there was, like, so many things going on in terms of, like, irony, you know, things like that. What I wanted to ask you, and a question that came to mind that I was going to bring up during the show but decided to just save it for this show, is that it was, the Second Amendment was originally intended to, for you to protect your, you know, life and your property and the people around you, against, I guess, invaders and tyranny, right? Tyranny was implied.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So why is it the case, and why is it the case that certain weapons that are used by the military that could potentially be used to, you know, as a form of tyranny if the government imposed it on the people, why aren't those available to civilians like you and
That's a great question.
And hold on, before you answer that question, I'd like to follow up with, did we have the ability to have, like, tanks and fully automatic weapons, and that those have slowly been taken away from us?
Yes.
Okay, so at first when we started the country, like, not that they had tanks, but the
cannons.
Could have cannons.
You could buy a cannon.
Right, and I know that there was a blunder by Joe Biden recently where he said, like, you can't have cannons, and you could
have just bought a cannon, but you could have.
So, conceivably, philosophically, if we're talking about the conception of this country, if tanks were available, they would have also been available to civilians.
Well, so in the country, don't forget, the way it works is everything is legal until it becomes illegal.
Okay. Okay.
So a tank, you know, let's say they develop a tank because there's no such thing as a tank, is legal at first. Until they specifically say, no, that's illegal.
Okay. Right.
So yes, at some point.
That was taken away.
I mean, I don't know about the tank example, but, like, fully auto, yes.
That was taken. When was that taken away? Do you know?
1986.
So before 1986, you could go buy a, give me a fully automatic weapon. Is it an AK-40?
You could buy an AR-15 that's fully auto.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And you still can now, but they have to be made before 86, and there's
rules. Okay, we'll keep it simple. Keep it simple. So
you can't just go to a store and buy one off the shelf. No,
but you could have in 1985.
Yes. Well, let's just say 75. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know exactly.
Sure.
The rule is an 86 rule, but I don't know when. But yes.
Okay, so we could go 75. You could go to the store, buy a fully automatic weapon, and that was fine.
Yep.
Interesting. So guns have been fully available since the inception and conception of this country. Why do you think now, or do you think that it is being skewed, the statistics? Like, do you think that gun violence is increasing in this country? It's hard to tell because the media is 24/7 and the media is also filtered. So they're only telling you the things that they want you to hear. So you get reporter bias. So you think that things are happening more frequently. You think that, you know, like police are out there killing like black guys because every time there's a white guy with a black perpetrator or whatever, they'll only report that sort of that situation. So you get reporter bias, even though there's tons of interactions, thousands of interactions happening between police officers and civilians every day that we don't hear about because it doesn't match the the narrative. Right. So what do you think is the case? Do you think that gun violence is going up in this country? And if so, why?
Gun violence as a whole?
Yes.
Probably going up.
Now, I was listening to a Colin Noir or a Cole, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was talking about saying, he was breaking down the gun statistics. And he said that if we look at the statistics, we have to start kind of dividing and parsing out things that aren't the same as one another. So he said, you know, you hear a lot about gun violence and gun deaths and things like that. He said 60 to 65% of gun deaths in this country every year are suicides. He's like, and not that that's not a problem, but when we're talking about homicides, when we're talking about mass shootings, we're not talking about suicide.
No,
so we need to take 60 to 65% of those cases out of the picture because that's something different.
Mm-hmm.
Not good, but can I say this? Not good, but better. Like, if you're going to kill someone, at least start with you.
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
you start killing other people that
Correct.
Didn't want to die.
Correct.
Okay. We'll start there.
The less of the evil.
Right. So, do you think that it is a fallacy that gun violence, in the way that we conceive of it, of people getting gunned down, is increasing? Or is it not? Or is it going down?
So
it's really hard to understand if you don't have a good grasp of this statistics.
I'm going to say it, you know, and it goes against, you know, what I believe in or whatever, but it's probably going up. And my guess is because there's just more people, there's more guns, they're cheaper, they're easier to get, you know,
than ever before.
Stolen. Yeah.
Just because there's more of them?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And they're, you know, there's things in general are just easier to get now than they were 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know.
With the internet and doing deals.
Sure.
Okay. It's easier to just find people, connect with people.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know the numbers, but I'm willing to bet most gun crimes have some illegal aspect, whether the gun was stolen or the person that had the gun legally couldn't have it or, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know the numbers, but I'm willing to bet that that's a high percentage of gun crime.
Yes, I would say so. And I don't know the statistics of if they are, if the number of gun violent victims are going up or what the case may be. I do think it could be just the fact that there are more guns in this country. And do you think there's more guns in this country than there were in the 1980s, for example? Is it just because they're coming out with new models and people are collecting guns?
Here's the thing, too. You got to remember that, like, you know, cars, automobiles, you know, they have a life expectancy. And, you know, when a car gets to be, you know, 20 years old, unless it's like a collector or someone really keeps it up, you know, they'll start going to scrap yards and you mm-hmm. know, they scrap them. Guns generally aren't the same way.
Mm.
You know, like, you can keep, you know...
Because typically you're not using them every day all the time.
No,
so
they're rarely, most of them are rarely used at all,
mm-hmm.
you know, or very little,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they hold their value.
Right.
You know, they're easy to store and stuff. So people have them around. And so they, you know, and they obviously they're making more and more and more of them as you know, just every day.
Yes.
You know, companies want to make them. So there's a ton out there.
Yes. I think I need to get back on the gun train and stop being a little bitch. Because I think.
Let's go shooting, ho.
Yes, I think I've heard a lot of guns and gis sort of a thing that kind of hang together. A lot of people that do Brazilian jiu-jitsu are obviously very much into self-defense, and that often bleeds into, you know, being a firearm owner, having concealed carry. A lot of the guys that I either roll with or are my instructors are big into guns.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is probably, and a lot of these people love the country. That's why I really like this community of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because it goes, we share a lot of the same values, which is like hard work and discipline. You know, God, guns and country, not instant gratification, which is a big one. You know, kind of putting aside your ego to learn something new. So there's this growth mindset, self-defense, protection, guns. A lot of people love America. A lot of people have really good senses of humor in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because you will, you know, sometimes you'll hear a thing like, hey, you know, John, get your balls out of my face. Like, there's a lot of those kinds of jokes, because, you know, a lot of homoerotic jokes and things like that. So it's a fun, good group of people. And it is kind of funny, because I was asking myself yesterday, like, why I continue to go, because it is fun. But there's a lot of losing at the beginning. A lot of losing involved with this Brazilian jiu-jitsu at the beginning, where you're not really getting a lot of, I don't want to say positive feedback, but you're getting mostly negative feedback because you're just constantly on your back. You're constantly trying to defend. And I'm like, well, what is it that motivates me to go back every week, a few times a week, to get better? And I think what it is that's motivating me. There's small wins, but I think what the main driving force is, like, the image of what I could be. Like, I think about if I stick with this, or I'll roll with someone who's so much better than me, and I'm like, they're not particularly athletic. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in better shape than they are.
Right.
I don't think that they possess any special athletic prowess that I couldn't have or I don't have in me, you know, given the fact that if I come back and try every day and try to get better. So I think what's really driving me now is not the fact that I'm like, winning, because I mean, I have bruises all over my body. I'm constantly like humiliated,
complaining about it, but not like you're complaining about like the specific people or the thing that happened, but not the sport.
I understand the sport, but you know, it's humiliating in the sense that like you know what you're signing up for, so you can't like blame the person for beating you. But I think what's driving me now is like the image of like what I could be. Like I see somebody, like I rolled with a blue belt yesterday, and the way that she just like handled me was very much like an assassin. Like she was almost slow and methodical, and she would do a move and then she would like tighten it like 50%. And then she would just hold me there. And then she'd like kind of, she almost, I swear to God, she was like rubbing my head. It was fucking weird. And she would rub my head almost, and it didn't hurt or anything. And then she would grab like the back of my collar, and then she would just tighten that, and everything was like a snake, like a python closing in,
right,
about to just swallow you whole. So shit like that, even though it humiliates me, it also inspires me. So I think that's good.
And like just you know, rolling around with you, I can tell that like you have technique, and like, you know, because like physically I'm a lot stronger than you are.
Yes.
But, like, there's things that I can do. Like, I'll put you, like, in a hole, or, you know, hold you a certain way, and, like, you can get out of it, and, like, you're getting better. Like, I can tell.
Yeah, and that's what I really love about this martial art in particular, is that, obviously, if you're rolling with someone who's your skill level, you know, then you need to be the same weight class and things like that. But for people who are smaller, you know, like me, women, there's a lot of really small men that do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's an incredible way to defend yourself, because size is often not really a factor when you're rolling with, or when you're trying to defend yourself. Like, I don't care how big a person is and how little you are, that you can't like out, if they're trying to choke you, you can't like use your trachea muscles to push them off. Like, if you get them in a choke, you're gonna get them. After a certain point that they just can't get out of it, they're gonna pass out. It doesn't matter how big they are, how small you are. So that's pretty cool, and I like it. This Japanese shit is tripping me up. If you haven't heard.
Yeah, how did he get assassinated?
He was shot by, was it an AR?
I don't know.
Some disgruntled man.
Are those legal there?
It's definitely not. They have very strict gun laws in Japan. But if you didn't hear, former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo, is it Abe? Has been assassinated. It's pretty gruesome, like JFK style, where he was giving a speech. I think he was...
like grassy knoll?
I don't know if he was on a grassy knoll, I think, and he wasn't in a motorcade, but he was campaigning on behalf of like some local politician or something. And some guy with a gun just shot him, I think, in the neck and in the heart, and he bled out and he died at the scene, which is pretty fucking
people in chat say it was a homemade, like a shotgun.
Yeah, I did read that it was homemade. I don't know. I mean, I can barely homemade a cake. I don't know how you homemade a gun, but does that mean you just kind of dress it up, or is he like a welder?
I mean, I'll show you one that I built from a block of metal.
Okay. See, I'm working with a terrorist right here. It doesn't even matter. I get it.
I'm actually what we call patriot.
A patriot. Excuse me, not a terrorist.
I like
a patriot.
To exercise my rights.
Exercise your... And yeah, what about the rights of making guns? How does that work?
They're trying to make it illegal.
Huh, but right now it's not.
Correct. They call them ghost guns because there's no serial number. They're not registered.
Right.
We need to make them illegal.
Right, because you don't need a background check if you make them yourself. You just make them yourself.
Correct.
Interesting. And you don't need a background check to buy ammo or anything. You can just fucking...
Not in most places, no.
And you can, what is it, 18? Like, am I 18, I can go buy some bullets?
Yeah.
No problem?
Yeah. Some places it's 21, but yeah.
Okay. All right.
And it depends on the ammo and blah, blah, blah.
Interesting. Blah. All right. I'm glad we've set that aside. We've talked about the guns.
We'll go shooting soon, though.
Okay, good.
I'll teach you some more stuff.
Thank you. Talked about the capital punishment and whatnot. We are going to take a little break, and when we return, I have another friend caper who's in a little bit of a situation.
A pickle?
Yes, and I spoke with this person recently, and it's hard when you try to tell your friend that they've made a grave mistake.
Oh, no.
But they don't think that they have, and they think that they're in the right. So how do you kind of mull through this? Well, you'll find out when we return, okay? So stand by, motherfuckers. Hold on. There we go.
I need to go poop.
All right, I'll put on a long song.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back.
Oh,
Skip Jones. All right, all right, all right, all right. Welcome back to Blummel Off the Rails on In Blitz here. We're going to be with you for another 20 to 30 minutes. 5 minutes. Let's ask the shit. Did you get anything out of you?
Not really.
Sucks. Sorry that happened to you. Almost said the number to the bone. 81390 Bubba. I was like, nope, we're in 813 on a get it together. All right. So before we took a little break, I teased that I may have a friend who is a little bit delusional.
Okay.
And I would appreciate
Bright Farm, John's Island, 1999.
Thank you. It's probably best that I get maybe a male perspective on this because I kind of inserted myself as the male perspective.
Okay.
With what I'm about to tell you. But it's kind of hard because I think I know, but maybe I have no idea.
Okay.
Much like that show, what was the MTV Truth? You think you know, but you have no idea. This is the true life of someone who eats pillowcases or whatever.
Okay.
The case may be. So I have a friend of
That's
mine.
A lie. Okay.
I actually do have a friend. not a lie. That part is actually true.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not using any names here. You're not going to know who this person is. You wouldn't know who this person is. But just in the event that, you know, someone is listening somewhere, they're not going to know who this is coming from or what this is about in terms of who it's about.
Okay.
So I have a friend who I spoke with in the last few days, and they were telling me about this guy that they're dating. It's a female friend. I'll give that away. And they were telling me about a guy that they were dating, but I don't talk to this person all too frequently about, you know, their current romantic situation. So I kind of get maybe monthly updates.
Okay.
Maybe bi-monthly updates, something like that. So the last I checked in with this person, they had told their dude, we'll call him Paul.
Okay.
They told Paul that, you know, they kind of want to keep it casual.
Okay.
They kind of want to keep it casual. They don't want to put any, the female was the one saying, my friend, the female friend was saying that, she told Paul, she just, hey, I want to keep this kind of, not say the word casual because that implies you're a whore,
yeah,
but kind of say, I don't really want to put any titles on this. Like, there's no need to put any titles on this.
Okay.
So the guy was like, okay, you know, he's happy with how things are going. And at the time, 2 months ago, she was happy with how things were going. And it seemed like last month I got another update and it seemed like it was more of the same that, hey, we want to, you know, we haven't had any further discussion about what we are and all that sort of stuff. I don't want to put titles on this.
Yep.
And this female friend of mine is not someone who's 21. This person is in their 30s, you know,
okay.
And usually women in their 30s, I can't speak for everybody, but either they are purposefully having a casual relationship.
Oh, I thought you were going to say start to fall apart.
Or that too. Thank you for reminding me. or they want to put a title on it.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for maybe the guy to say something, but they don't like sitting in relationship purgatory, mm-hmm. where it's we don't know where we stand. That's not fun. it can be exciting at the beginning to kind of not know, but that gets old really quickly. Yeah. And excitement turns to anxiety and frustration very quickly, mm-hmm. especially with women around my age or younger. We don't feel like we have endless amounts of time. We feel like our vitality and our value on the sexual market is plummeting rapidly, faster than cryptocurrency, and we want to lock shit down. So with that being said, I spoke with this person somewhat recently, and they tell me that they haven't had any further discussions about titles. Now, it seems like Paul, in quotes, Paul is hanging out with some friends, some female friends. Okay, it's an ex. And this guy, Paul, is doing things for his ex-girlfriend.
Nothing wrong with that.
Now, when I inquired as to when, you know, this ex was in his life, maybe it was 10 years ago. And at which point, you know, people can move on and you can actually be friends or whatever, even though I feel like that's a little iffy.
Yeah.
So I asked my friend, female friend, that's what her alias is, female friend, you know, well, when did Paul and his ex-girlfriend break up? She said, last fall. I go, okay, this may be a little problematic.
Why?
Well, here's the situation in terms of how she's feeling. But of course, I come in yep. with the male perspective.
Yep.
So I said, interesting. Okay. Well, you know, what's the status? She goes, we are pretty much in a relationship. I said, I think we need to define. We need to define pretty much. What does pretty much mean? And this female friend assured me that Paul knows, quote, what this is.
Does he?
So I said, okay. And she continued to tell me, you know, her concerns, which are valid in terms of feeling. You're allowed to feel, however, obviously. Anything is validated, yeah. I guess, in that regard. But she's telling me, and again, when you're talking to this person, you can't just start dismissing shit they're saying. You're a friend. You have to at least hear them out and at least pretend like they have yes. a point. That doesn't mean you have to, you know, declare that they have a point, but you at least have to pretend like they're coming from a place of common sense. So, and I think I put myself in my situation, like if, and again, not that there's any sort of ambiguity as to what we are.
Right.
We're labeled. But if we weren't and you were talking to an ex or whatnot, I may feel some type of way. Whether it's validated or justified or not is a separate question. So I start to talk to female friend about Paul. And apparently Paul's been kind of, seems like he's been pulling away a little bit. It seems like Paul has been spending more time with the ex and doing things for her, fixing things around her house. Right.
Yeah.
So
obviously,
it is also kind of bizarre and somewhat comforting that he's being upfront about it. So okay. It's not like he's trying to hide it, which in my mind, if I was in my friend's shoes, would be more problematic if I was finding out like later after the fact. At least he's being upfront, okay. saying, I'm going to so-and-so's house. This is where I'd be. This is who I'm going to be with.
Okay.
All this sort of stuff. But it seems like he is just calling her. Paul's calling his ex his friend. He's like, well, I'm going to my friend's house. And my friend's like, well, is this the friend that you used to face fuck? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
No, she's not. She's the one I still face fuck.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So my friend was, you know, going on and on about how she was feeling some type of way and she wasn't feeling comfortable with all this sort of stuff. And so I reiterated the point and was like, but you have not had any conversation about what you guys are in terms of titles. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, there's been no further progression. And then I go, and I tried to, you know, I'm definitely not a man hater or anything, but sometimes you got to, you know, cater to your friend. And I said, listen, how does he know that that may be inappropriate? Like, because you aren't in a relationship. And she goes, well, we are. We pretty much are. And she said again, he knows what this is.
Bitch, the last thing you fucking told him was you didn't want anything serious.
So again, I let this person go on a little bit more and then decided to, this was my, because I made one, you know, I had said something before that kind of elicited a response where she said something along the lines of, quote, it was literally, quote, trust me, he knows what this is. And in my head, I'm going, no, he doesn't.
Oh, yes, he does. Oh, he knows exactly what it is.
In terms of, he doesn't think what she thinks. They're on opposite pages here.
No, he knows what it is, but it's not the same.
Right,
yeah, they don't think the same.
Right.
Yeah.
But she was implying, trust me, he knows that this is a relationship. That's what she was implying.
Of course.
And I'm going, no, he doesn't.
Absolutely not.
So I then, you know, let her speak. And then I interjected with trying to say what I was going to say in the most delicate way. I said, friend, sometimes guys are dumb. And if you tell them that you don't, you know, you're happy with it being somewhat casual, even if you've emotionally progressed where, you know, you may feel closer to him. We don't know if it's reciprocated. I've really never seen them together, so I don't know. But it, you know, you may have emotionally progressed, but if the last thing that you told him about, you know, the quote relationship, the talk was, I'm happy with how things are. I don't want to put any titles on anything. I'm pretty sure he's holding that as the status quo. So, you know, unfortunately,
why wouldn't he?
Correct. Like, why would he not? I mean, that's the best of both worlds. He can do things with my friend and also do things with other women, and he's not out of bounds.
Right.
Because
those were her rules.
Exact. And even better, those were her rules. It wasn't even like he presented something and she signed off.
He's
was the one that brought
it in her face.
Right. So I said, you know, sometimes guys are dumb. And because she said to me, trust me, he knows that this is a relationship.
Yeah,
that's
no,
what she said.
Absolutely not.
And then I was trying to say, well, sometimes guys are dumb, even though he's not. But, you know, sometimes guys are dumb. And unless you spell it out and have a conversation about what's going on, he thinks that it's, you know, green light to do whatever.
Of course.
It's not even that he gets the green light. It's like those are the rules. He can do whatever he wants. And I go, well, you know, I'm a big fan of communication because every relationship, romantic relationship that was somewhat close to me, so friends or my parents or something, that failed, a massive chunk of that was because people weren't communicating and people weren't on the same page. And by the time people were communicating, it was often too late.
Yeah,
it was too late. The damage had been done. People had moved on and they were ready to go in their separate directions. So I'm a big fan of like staying on top of things. And like, I don't want to give away too much of our, you know, behind the scenes stuff. But like we, I think, pretty regularly check in and be like, are you happy with this? Do you like this? And then, you know, I go, yes. And then I ask you, are you good?
Like,
and then
Blitz
lies to my face and says, yeah, he's happy and everything's great. So, but I think it's important to be like, you know, kind of, and by saying that you're kind of saying, is there anything I could do better or like that could be tweaked where, you know, your needs are met or whatever the case may be and vice versa. So it's very important to have open dialogue.
I'm getting mad that I'm dating all these co-eds as well.
Right. And like my whole thing, and I heard Jordan Peterson talking about this, and I think that Jordan Peterson is a very wise individual, and he's very, very much anti-casual sex, which he thinks casual sex is like morally wrong, reprehensible. I don't think that. I just think in terms of especially female strategy, I think it's a bad idea. I don't think it's wrong. That's the distinction I make, where I'm like, you're not helping yourself by fucking random guys, you know, not that my friend is, but just in general, having a casual relationship for a female kind of goes against our biological nature. So you're clearly not happy with the situation. Like with any female who, unless she is in a weird kind of transitional rebound sort of phase, she, a woman wants to, if she's fucking you, she likes you, she wants to lock it down. That's usually the case. I'm not going to say for everybody, but for the most part, biologically speaking, we, you know, we kind of want to lock it down with the guy that's, you know, giving us the resources or the sex or whatever. We like you. If we're fucking you, we like you. There's an emotional attachment there. I've had lots of friends claim that they can have unattached sex. I don't believe them because their actions speak differently. You know, because if you're completely unattached, then you don't care if someone, you know, is also having sex with somebody else, but you prefer not to know, or when you find out, you get angry. Like, that's, you can tell me all you want that you're having unattached casual sex, but when you get jealous of somebody, when you are upset to find out that they're having sex with somebody else or taking someone else out to dinner, and that hurts your feelings, then it's not unattached. It's very much attached, and you're just fucking lying to yourself.
Well,
so,
what advice did you give your friend?
Well, when I came back with the guys are dumb and I don't think he knows this is a relationship sort of thing, the rebuttal was, trust me, he knows. And that, to that, I just go, okay, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
What do you do? So I'm trying to tell her in so many ways, like, hey, you were the one who set the rules of, hey, no rules. Well, right. There's no attachments.
Right.
Or there's limited attachments. And because it's fun and to think about when you are the one in your mind, when you're thinking, I don't want to be held down, you're thinking about yourself.
Yep.
But then when you start to encounter the other person roaming around freely, then it hurts your feelings. Mm-hmm. But you still want the freedom to go and maybe hook up with somebody else. So people don't think about it in the reverse. They think about, like, what I want to do. But then when they realize that the other person also has those rights, then they feel very threatened by their actions, which is hanging out with their ex. Now,
I agree with you. Guys are dumb when it comes to that. But he's all, you know, and I don't know who you're talking about, but, like, you know, for the most part, they're also smart. Like, hey, you know, if
you were the one.
Yeah, if she's going to give the rule of let's keep this casual, well, then let's keep it casual.
Right.
I'll show you what that means.
Right, right. Exactly. And that's exactly how it went down, is that the topic got brought up and she was the one who kind of took the lead and said, listen, like, I just want to kind of keep this, you know, casual. I like how things are right now.
Okay.
And that implies that it's, you know, somewhat casual.
Casual?
No. Okay. Women don't use the word casual.
That's why I was wondering, because that makes a big difference.
No, they don't use the word casual because that makes us feel like whores. If I was trying to just keep something casual, I would just say, you know, I like how things are going right now. I don't need to put titles on anything. That makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't use the word casual because casual insinuates you're a whore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we're implying is, hey, I want to be a free bird.
Yeah.
And it's very, if someone said that to me, I would be extremely insulted and I would end it right away. Because to me, that's saying, hey, like, I like you, but not enough to lock you down. And if I find something better, I'm going to go for that.
Yeah.
That's what that's saying. Exactly,
pretty much.
And I would be so fucking insulted if someone said that to me. Now, guys, you know, I don't want to say, if they're getting fucking pussy, like, they're like, well, whatever, I'm getting pussy, who cares? But like, as a woman, if someone said that to me and said, hey, like, I kind of like how things are, I don't want to put any titles on anything, that means, you know, translation, you're a placeholder, and if I find someone hotter, younger, and better, I'm gonna opt for that.
Yeah.
So that would not be, I wouldn't be able to emotionally handle, like, that.
If I don't, you'll do.
Huh?
If I don't find anybody better, you'll
yes,
do.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
you're good for now.
You're not what I wanted, but it works.
Yeah, you're good for now.
Yeah.
You know? Again, that was a couple months ago, but that was also the last conversation that was had. And so when I tried to say, like, well, did you communicate that the rules have changed, that the game has changed, you know, she said no. But then I tried to say, you know, guys are dumb and they don't, you know, unless you say it out loud and you make it, you know, a tacit agreement that we're exclusive, they're going to just keep roaming around like they're free.
Yeah.
She just said, quote, again, it was a two-part rebuttal of, trust me, he knows.
Okay.
Well. But what do you say to that? Are you okay? Well, I don't know. I'm not you. I don't know him. And so you just go, okay. Yeah, all right.
Well,
all right. Fine.
We'll trust you then.
Yeah. But, you know, you got to, and then you're also coming from a weird place because you have no leg to stand on when you are saying that you're. Huh? No, she's not an amputee. Oh. That wouldn't help her game at all. But she also felt weird because with the whole him hanging out with the ex thing, she was upset about it because naturally she's attached to this guy and she doesn't want him hanging out with his ex. But secondly, it's kind of weird because she's like, well, we never fully said that we're in a committed relationship. So she doesn't feel like fully justified to be like, this is not okay behavior.
And she isn't justified.
Right.
She can bring it like... It's okay to bring it up and say, hey, look, you know, and even like maybe imply, like, you know, now that we've gotten more serious and kind of see what he says, but like make it very obvious and then, you know, then find out like, hey, you know, what's.
And it seems like things have been said, but it's kind of bizarre because she feels fully open to communicate her feelings. But it seems like not open enough.
What was his name again, you said?
Paul.
Paul. Okay. So basically she was like leaving and she's like, okay, Paul, I'm going to Publix. You need anything? By the way, we're exclusive.
I don't
that
think
that doesn't work.
Yeah, no, you got to have a sit down conversation.
Yeah,
but it was really bizarre because she felt comfortable enough to kind of communicate her feelings that she was uncomfortable with it, but not
to him.
Yes, but not comfortable enough to actually have the conversation of what are we? So it's like you would think that the second one would precede the first. Like, hey, let's talk about what we are, and then we could talk about, you know, what is and isn't appropriate behavior for someone who's in a relationship.
But she hasn't brought up the fact with him seeing his ex, though.
She has.
Oh, she did.
She has, and she's communicated she's not comfortable with
it. Oh, but what'd he say?
Well, that's just a friend. Well, she's my friend, and there's nothing there, and blah, 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 and... You know, yes, we dated and she's my ex and we face fucked each other. But, you know, hey, she's my friend.
He's claiming now they're not doing anything.
Yeah. And I honestly, I told my friend from what it sounds like you're telling me, I honestly don't think that there is anything sexual going on. I still think that there's an attachment.
If he's like hanging out at her house, like fixing shit, they're fucking.
But then why would he like tell her? I mean...
Right.
Maybe he's just like, fuck it, I'm not in a relationship with you. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But it just seems like if he was sneaky about it, I would say certainly yes. But the fact that he's so brazen about it.
Because he's like, look, I'm going to tell her, look, we're just friends. We're hanging out that way. If I'm over there, she can't catch me because I'm there. Like, I'm telling her I'm there. No big deal. But we're not, you know, we're not doing anything, even though, you know, we're fucking all the time.
I mean, it could be the case. I'm not saying it is or isn't. I don't know. I don't know what the situation is, but I do think that there's definitely like, if anything, if not physical, there's definitely like an emotional attachment, which is worse for women, actually.
Yeah.
So either way, it's no good. And then it seemed like she was consulting some of her friends of being like, well, this guy is, you know, emotionally unavailable. It's like, well, is he, or did you just tell him that these are the rules you want to play by, and he's playing by them, and now you're not happy?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of a strange situation where it's like, no, you got to spell it out so that you can either shit or get off the pot. Because if you don't know where you're at, then you really can't make any decisions about, you know, the future, and then you find yourself in a very frustrating situation. And so I asked her, I'm like, well, will you be speaking with Paul and kind of discussing, you know, what you are? Because it sounds like, you know, the last time I talked to you, you wanted things to be a bit more carefree and casual. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like you want a relationship. But it seems like still, and this is what I was kind of smelling, was the fact that she doesn't even really want a relationship with this person. She's kind of mad that he hasn't pushed harder to lock her down.
Right.
So it's almost an ego thing where she's like, first off, like, why are you locking me down? Why are you hanging out with your ex and like throwing it in my face?
Is she afraid if she says, hey, let's lock it down?
He'll say no.
He'll say no or run.
Possibly. But then I say, well, you know, does he know it's a relationship? It sounds like he does. And she goes, trust me, he does. And I go, well, okay. I have nothing but trust because I don't know your relationship.
Yeah.
And everybody is different. And I do kind of understand where it's like, sometimes you have, if you explain like relationships you've had with people, like platonic relationships, and you go, that was not platonic, or I'd be uncomfortable with that. But you're like, no, I do have a friend that I've had since college. We never hooked up. We traveled together. We like even slept in the same bed and nothing ever happened. People were like, right. But in my past, I've had that happen.
Yeah.
You know, and whether they wanted to or not, or I wanted to or not, is a separate situation, but nothing ever did happen. So, you know, everybody is different. But if I were her, I would definitely be uncomfortable. But I'm all about, and this is what I was going to say about Jordan Peterson. And he's like, for people who are so afraid to communicate about like sex or what you are in terms of relationship, he's like, I don't understand that people are so uncomfortable talking about the things they'd rather just do them. Like, you don't want to talk about the sex. You'll just have sex, which is like way more intimate and way more risky in every which way, emotionally, physically, all that sort of stuff. But you're too much of a pussy to like communicate. Like, that's, how is that more of a burden, or how is that more frightening than actually the act of sex?
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of right. He's like, you're clearly not mature enough to have the sex if you can't even talk about it on the front end.
Right.
So and that was a big reason why he was very much against casual sex, which I am not, because I am all about liberty and freedoms. And if you want to do whatever you want to do, as long as you own the repercussions that come along with it and mm-hmm. the accountability, and you don't turn around and yell rape when someone, you know, you regret it later or something like that. Because people that do that, the people that they're really hurting the most are the people that actually are raped.
Exactly.
And sexually, like people who really are, you know, they're at a party, someone slips them something and they pass out and they're getting fucked behind a dumpster. That's where they come to. Like that girl that was at Berkeley, or that swimmer from hell. What was his name? It was Brock. It was like some rapist guy behind the dumpster. I mean, like, that guy is a real rapist mm-hmm. who is having sex with someone who's not conscious and who clearly didn't consent to anything.
Not someone who later regretted it.
Not someone who, and I hate to say it, someone who, you know, drank too much, blacked out, doesn't remember it, or, mm-hmm. you know, later regrets it and then yells rape. Like, you're really hurting people who have been sexually assaulted.
Yeah, because what happens is, you know, they go, the news comes out over, oh, so-and-so was raped, and then people go, yeah, oh, yeah, she's probably one of those ones that, you know, just regretted it later.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, no, she was forcibly fucking held down and, like, you know,
robbed and raped. And,
yeah.
Yeah, so you're really hurting them because, like you said, you're kind of watering down what the public thinks when they hear sexual assault, because everything is sexual assault, mm-hmm. you know? If someone looks at you the wrong way. And it is really funny because, you know, obviously I have female friends, and the line between, you know, sexual assault, creepy guy, gross, get the fuck away from me, and the best sex of your life is
money.
Determined by if you're attracted to that person.
Of course.
So, you know, if you if a guy makes a move at you, or like, you know, grabs your butt or something on a date, and you weren't into it on the date, then it's fucking assault. But if you liked it or you were attracted to him, then it was like,
yeah, no,
hot.
It's yeah. if a guy grabs your ass and you turn around to slap him and he's really hot, you're like, oh, hey, what's up?
Right. So it's not the act. It's who's, you know, the perpetrator of the act.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you are attracted to them,
and
then
it makes sense.
Yeah, it is. But it is kind of sad, especially. Let's discount like strangers, but say it's someone you kind of know or you're dating, and they make a move or they try to kiss you and you didn't want it, then it's like, you know, assault, he's creepy, get the fuck away from me, versus like the guy who took the leap of faith and you did like it, and then it was like a really hot, exciting night.
Yeah.
So it sucks, but you
like
know,
we're going to have this weekend.
Hell to the, yeah. So my friend, I don't know what to tell you. I feel like there might be a little bit of denial. I don't know how, I don't understand how women can have fun knowing that they're just a side piece.
And here's the deal. She needs to suck it up and either decide, look, I'm okay with him, screwing his ex and other women, or I need to actually sit down and talk to him and say, hey, this is what we are. Are you cool with that? Do you agree? Are we on board here or are we not?
I agree. And it just seems like that has been put off for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And that the last conversation that they had about it was very much her bringing up the fact that she was happy where they were and she didn't want to progress any further with titles or whatnot. So he's was to him, that was probably the best conversation they had. Hey, we're having, consistent, frequent sex, and it's great, fun sex. And also, I get to fuck whoever I want because you can fuck whoever the hell you want.
Right.
So it's just a little bit interesting. But, you know, as would happen with anybody, especially women, with time, you tend to get more attached to someone.
She caught the feels.
Less. I mean, she had him from the get, but then it's like they progress more and you spend more time with that person and their actions mean more and hurt more. So I just kind of ended with, well, I think you should just talk to him about it. Because that's all you can say. You can't assume they know or feel the way that you do. You can't.
Nope.
You can't make any assumptions about anybody else's thoughts, feelings, what's in their heart. That's why I get so mad when people are like, oh, well, you know, they said this because they're racist. It's like, how are you assuming what's in someone's mind and heart? Like, they can't just disagree with someone because they're a different race. Like, it's always got to be because they're fucking racist. You know, I was watching this video of who's that Somali congresswoman? She's from Minnesota.
Oh.
You know, she's part of the squad. Yeah, her name escapes me right now. Someone will pop it in a chat. But she went to a concert this last weekend, and she got booed off the stage.
Yeah.
Yes, Omar, what's the last name? You'll give it to me. But whatever. She's a Somali woman who is
Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar, thank you. Yes, her. So she went to a concert this weekend, and I saw the video of her getting booed off stage, and my initial thought was, great, now everyone's going to be called racist because they're booing a black woman. And then come to find out she was at a Somali fucking concert with 10,000 other black Somali people and they booed her off the stage.
Oh.
So I go, okay, well, at least now they can't be like, they're racist.
Might. They might.
You know, it's like, oh, they didn't agree with her because, you know, the abortion thing or whatnot and all that shit. So it was just, that's my first thought is anytime someone boos someone that's a minority, it's
of
like
course.
The person who's booing is, of course, going to be, you know, labeled a racist or a sexist or
and
whatnot.
And this it didn't get started, but it became kind of popular during Obama. If you didn't agree with Obama, it's because you were racist.
Yes.
You could say, look, I didn't like Obama's policy on this because of this, and it didn't matter what it was about. You were a racist.
Yes. It seemed like there was a shift between Obama's first and second term. Like, if you listen to, I think it was before or maybe right when he got in office, and someone was asking him about race relations in America, and his general response was like, of course, there's still racism and whatever. But he said it's like never been better. Like race relations are good. Everybody is, you know, on board for the most part. Of course, there's outliers and people who are. And I know this is going to probably be controversial, but like I don't really have any problem with someone who is a racist, like in their mind, in their heart, but they don't act racist. Like they may have, you know, racial prejudices, but if they go out in the world and act like a normal, civil, human, non-racist human being, then I don't really care. Like,
right.
If that makes sense. Like
sure.
if they're in their home and they're like, oh, I hate Asians, but they go out and they're like, hey, Mr. Chang, like what's up? Like, all right,
yeah, who cares?
Like as long as they're acting.
As long as
it right,
actually was Mr. Chang.
Right, exactly.
If they weren't doing it to be racist, but yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But
who cares?
Right. So as long as you are functionally non-racist, like I don't really care. But there really was a shift from Obama's rhetoric like when he first got into power versus his second term when everything started to be more about race baiting like Ferguson and stuff like that, which was 2014, 15? I can't really remember. But his tone definitely changed. And again, I don't think I was watching one of these fucking conspiracy things. And I don't even like calling myself a conspiracy theorist. They are fun. But I'm just a truth seeker. You know what I mean?
No,
I'm
that's trying to, even worse.
Trying to find out like
I'm
what the actually happened.
I'm a truther.
Right. Not a truther, but a truth seeker. But there was a kind of an interesting timing with that. And that was during the whole, remember the whole like Occupy Wall Street thing? When they were bailing out the banks and stuff like that.
2011.
Yes. It seemed like they were really trying to shift the attention away from, you know, the corruption of the, you know, Federal Reserve, the mortgage companies, things like that, and trying to shift it more onto, like, this is a race thing, racism. And so people were kind of like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Bamboozled into looking in one direction, the decoy, when in reality they were just getting fucked by the people with money, not necessarily white, black, or whatever. So that was really when he started kind of turning up the volume on all the race relations stuff, was when he was trying to, seems like, backpedal out of all of the Occupy Wall Street, bailing out the banks mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So could that be the case? I mean, it's a great one. That seems to be what the Democratic Party has been doing lately. Whenever something goes wrong, they try to, you know, pivot and look at race and how horrible racism is and this and that. And when the real issues in the country is the fact that, you know, like, no one has health care, no one has a job, there's no fucking borders, coronavirus, people's businesses got shut down, mm-hmm. gas is through the roof, but we have to worry about fucking including the, you know, LGBT flag with the brown and black. And so, I don't know. I feel like the American people are somewhat waking up, but, you know, maybe not, because a lot of people, depends who you talk to. Some people you're like, oh, they get it, and other people you're like, you fucking don't get it.
Exactly.
You don't fucking get it at all, and I kind of am jealous of you. And I think we had this conversation this last weekend about kind of sometimes it's a burden being so smart and in tune with what's going on, because when you start like injecting nuance into things, it's very hard to like pick a side. Or, you know, when we talk about abortion or we talk about guns, I'm like, okay, I kind of see where they're coming from. And then no one likes you because they either want you to be with them or against them. They don't know where to place you when you're kind of pussyfooting around, but you're pussyfooting around because you are a nuanced thinking, critically thinking person, where you don't just think in terms of absolute rights and wrongs, but in terms of like trade-offs and like, you know, what's the actual cause of all these problems? Is it, you know, is it guns or is it poverty in fatherless homes? Like, what's the real issue? And if you start talking about the real issues, then you get, you know, blasted as being racist or sexist or something. So nothing fucking gets done, and we just continue, you know, getting poorer and fatter, which is fine with me. That's fine with me.
Yeah. Then you got Lizzo's show to watch.
Oh my God. So excited. Can't wait to watch something with the big girl. The big girl. I don't know. She's picking backup dancers that are fat.
Fat Camp.
Fat
dancers.
Camp. Yeah. Yeah. It's great. Bring back Ben Stiller. What was that? Heavyweights? Was that the movie?
I have no
idea.
It was
a fucking great movie. Anyways, that is all we have for today. I can't believe it's Friday already.
Thank God.
It's been a long week. Ooh, our favorite song.
It sure is.
Thank you guys for listening. Blitz, thank you for all that you do. Appreciate you. Those listening, have a fantastic weekend.
Yeah.
We'll see you on Monday.
We have to work a whole week next week.
I know. I'm like, we only got a 2-day weekend? This is fucking bullshit. What the hell? Expect me to work 5 days in a row like that. Fuck you guys. Just kidding.
Am I going to see you this weekend?
I don't know. We'll talk after the show. Bye, guys.